you yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell Shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Jaws.
1975.
Yep.
Okay, we already made apologies when we announced this.
Okay.
Listen, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite movie. It probably goes between that and Raiders.
Favorite movie of all time, or like Spielberg?
No, favorite movie is stop, you know, period.
Oh, wow. Well, what's kind of interesting is after we're done recording today, I'm going across the street to the theater at my house to see my favorite Spielberg movie, which is Close Encounters. But I mean, I love Raiders. It's like a toss-up for me, and I don't know why.
Well, listen, I attribute Raiders as definitely one of the reasons I became an actor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like Raiders and Fiddler on the Roof. But Jaws is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
I you know, it's when we do this, it's fun to like the stuff that's low rent in Kaiju movies, yeah. And appreciate the stuff that's not low rent, that just like you like to see, you see like this huge effort was made to you know, do things like with all the model work and all that kind of stuff. It's just something we really appreciate. And you know, this isn't a movie to really we enjoy ripping on movies, and this isn't a movie that I rip on just because it's I love it so much. But I think it's listen, you know, the audience who's coming along with this on this one is great because, like, it's a good movie, an excuse to watch it again. Like, it's one of the movies I watch every year. Mm-hmm. This is how I knocked out this year's one, basically.
Two birds. Yeah, kind of the reason we picked it, too, is our schedules are getting real busy.
This is our 4th of July episode.
Yeah, and we looked for a 4th of July kaiju movie, and this was kind of the closest thing there was. This was it, and why not? I figured since we did the Meg,
right?
Why not watch a good shark movie?
And we were discussing the first of the new Godzillas and how that also had such a strong Jaws moments.
Yeah, and watching Jaws right after watching or having that Godzilla be fresh in our mind. Like, I really saw a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it's interesting because one thing about Jaws, it's such – even the stories of the making of Jaws has become part of the legend of Jaws. Mm-hmm. And the whole issue with the shark not working and how that kind of forced Spielberg to come up with a lot of unseen monster gags.
Yeah.
Which – are so great in this movie and work so well. And I was just kind of noticing how there's things that when people who do that later in a way to tip the hat to Jaws, I don't give them the benefit. I don't give them the same benefit of, you know, I get it because they're like, they're doing it when the other thing is a CGI monster.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, screw you guys. You have the technology. this was done out of necessity, and that's what gives it a certain amount of credibility in the way he, I don't know. It's like a creativity that was used to do it. And like when they turn around and says, "Yeah, we just did this," and like the way Jaws did it, I go, "No, I think it's because." Jaws did it because it had to, and it had a certain, I don't know, it just has a different feel to it.
Yeah, And it kind of works great because it's mostly a horror movie, and it works because it's a horror movie, I think, because you don't know fully what it looks like, and you only see bits and pieces, and so it's kind of a mystery, and you don't know, you know, the full, you know, I don't know, fully yeah. what this thing is until you see it later on in the movie.
So, yeah, I always think of Jaws as a monster movie, not as a shark movie.
Yeah.
And it's it, because, like, you know, there's also that stuff how, like, after Jaws, you know, a lot of sharks were obliterated mm-hmm. because it created such a scary shark image that, you know, a lot of, you know, it actually affected the shark population.
That's crazy.
The ocean stuff. And that's such a bummer. Like, you know, and watching the movie, I mean, yeah, and just to even jump around, I mean, the huge memorable scene of the speech about being on the Indianapolis and how, like, you know, that story is kind of debunked on a lot of levels. Yeah, sharks ate people
mm-hmm.
who were in the water there, but, you know, it seems that most of them probably died from drinking salt water uh-huh. and, like, the other things. Like, I mean, that I remember that being a whole, they did a whole bit on the Indianapolis once on Shark Week and stuff. And so it's like, so now it's like appreciating it just for the performance, but in a sense, like, being like, yeah, but come on now, I don't buy all that. It's like the sharks ate the ones that were kind of already dead. I think a lot of that happened too. It's a good story.
And
you know, there's this podcast, it's called, I think it's Inside Jaws, and it's like, it's short, it's like maybe like 5 episodes, and it really just kind of tells the story of Spielberg making Jaws, I think it starts at the book and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty good, and they have like fun, they have It's well produced. There's like some sound bits and stuff like that. And there's like, you know, every day on the set is like an announcement: the shark is working, or the shark is not working.
Which is crazy because we really only get the shark stuff when they're on the boat. And what's it's even funnier yeah. is the whole storyline with the barrels was kind of out of necessity as well.
That's so good.
I love the barrels.
So much of the, it's like the barrels are their own character. It's like the orca, the whole thing of the orca is its own character.
Yeah.
So much of it is, that's part of what makes this so great. All right, I know you didn't really write much on it, but so I was trying to take notes. So
I only have one note.
Kind of in a way going. Well, just remember when you get to your notes.
Oh, I know when it's yeah.
The
it's a timestamp. Okay, so
we open up the Jaws. There's kids smoking the reefer.
Yeah.
There's Chrissy's off by herself, and then, you know, the whole, you know, this is kind of like, you know, reminding me, because I used to complain that Spielberg never had, when Spielberg puts nudity in his movies, it's uh-huh. never something that's you can enjoy,
because
uh-huh. it's always surrounded by some trauma.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to cite examples, but trust me.
And
this is
about
another one. This is another one. This is, she just there skinny dipping, and then she gets killed in the water.
Yeah, and I'd never noticed how much you can see until watching it in HD.
Oh, there's stuff. Oh, you know what? Did you notice the shooting stars?
Yeah.
I never noticed those before.
Oh, you never did?
No.
They had it's to have like been animated, right?
No, apparently I Googled it, and apparently there was a shooting star that day. So I think maybe, because there's two shots where a shooting star goes across, and I'm like wondering, it was just that they had two cameras running, maybe? I don't know. Uh-huh. Because it appears, one appears in like a close up, and then there's like a wider shot, and then you see it kind of go across the sky. It looks like a cartoon. It totally looks animated, but it's there. Unless they did something to enhance it.
Oh, maybe.
They remastered it, if they did something like that. Yeah, that first kill is it's one of the first things that there's this moment where she first comes down and she comes up and she has that those quick breaths that I remember that making a huge impression on me when I was little. When I was little, my first exposure to Jaws is my parents got it from the library and we were watching it on the TV on the VCR. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't think I was watching it, or I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I was on the stairs, peeking through the stairs, seeing it, and the moment that Quint gets killed, and the blood comes out of his mouth is a moment. The moment that I realized that I'm too young to be watching this. The crabs on her hand. The whole with the hand, that's nice.
There's some good stuff like that. The body props, like that hand, watching the crabs on
really
it, like it seems
great props.
Yeah, and then the leg,
the severed leg.
The leg is the one that always gets me, and it's like, so the way it kind of bounces when it hits the ground or hits the bottom, like
it's really what made it looks like skin. It's really good.
Yeah.
I liked. In part of the establishing this this notion of this small town sheriff and like nothing happens here, that like the main complaint coming in is that there's a karate class and all the kids are karate the picket fences.
Yeah, and then you actually see it.
There's interesting stuff like when he goes to grab the paintbrushes and he knocks the thing of paintbrushes down.
Yeah.
And you're like, was that a mistake that just made it into the movie? Cause it adds a thing or what? But it's just a great, it works. It's great. I like that.
It's such a quick edit. I think like it's something that could be in the script. Like he knocks it down just to show that he's not like,
doesn't telegraph it
He's just a regular guy, but it cuts away so quick that it's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they don't make a meal out of it.
Yeah.
You just know what happens.
Yeah.
Same thing, there's like a lot of like whenever he's like walking around the orca and he's got to get around the main cabin area to get to the front or the back, he's always parts where like his sneaker slips a little as he's walking around. Same kind of thing.
But that, I love that stuff because it like adds to the tension because, you know, you're like, oh, the deck is slippery, and they're walking outside where clearly when we meet the shark, it can pop up out of the water enough to get to that point. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I got this. It's definitely watching this movie now in this context. There's something about the whole thing. This is like I was almost like the notion of like when you think of like stuff like climate change and the way, you know, people who are anti doing something about climate change find their own scientists that are willing to whatever or like, you know, when people finding like the studies that contradict what the general scientific agreement is. And then this is like the medical examiner, you know, changing his cause of death. You know, like, oh, it could be a boating accident, you know, and it just kind of had this kind of this modern day moment of just like the, you know, how this is how they put the squeeze on things so that the big business of Amity Island, you know, can still make money on 4th of July weekend.
Yeah. I think it was in Ghostbusters, the 2016 one, where Andy Garcia is anti-Ghostbusters and they keep calling him the mayor from Jaws. That was their insult, and that was like the funniest joke. And it's just that mayor with his like suits, with his like flashy suits and stuff, and he's definitely cares more about the money, and I mean, he does care about the well-being of the shop owners, but definitely yes. Not the well-being of people.
No, right. Like as far as the price to pay.
Yeah.
And it's like the a small town corporate scumbag kind of quality tool.
Yeah.
And they're so quick. I mean, the whole thing of there's just this moment in passing, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's on that ferry and their car pulls up and there's like five guys in it.
Uh-huh.
All like the, you know, leaders of the community as far as, and I was like, man, it's just like quick. Just like, we gotta stop this right away. And they just show up.
Mm-hmm. What are the things?
Go ahead.
One of the things I liked is, recently we talked about the, monster that challenged the world, and how it took place in just like a small lake town. And I like this scaled down version of a monster movie. Because a lot of times we see, as far as like kaiju movies go, we see the military, we see scientists, we see all kinds of stuff. But in this movie, we really get like four points of view, maybe. We get Brody, we get the mayor and Quint and Hooper. And so it's nice to see just like this small, small, small group scaled down to fight this threat. And I think that's interesting. I don't think we've seen a monster movie yet on this scale. I think like even Them has more military stuff involved, but there's no, I mean, the biggest thing we get is when the town comes together, when like Ben Gardner gets on his boat and he's, you know, being flanked by like a couple other fishing boats and stuff. Like that's the largest scale. Like it's interesting to see that kind of version as opposed to, you know, nonstop tanks and helicopters and jets.
And, right. Well, it's like that part where when Richard Dreyfuss is coming to look at the body, and they first of all they pull it out in that tub.
Oh yeah.
It's like the size of like a bus bin at a restaurant, and he's like, and he's like, did you notify the Coast Guard about this?
Huh.
And he's like, no, it's like the sense of like almost like they were trying to keep it local.
Yeah.
This is the first time that I had heard of referring to your hands as pruny after you've been in the water for too long.
Oh.
Like this is where I learned that's how you refer to that's your fingers when you're because I mean.
Yeah.
I used to go to the beach a lot and it happened to my fingers, but I didn't know that you called it that until I saw this movie and she says it to her son, before the big moment. And, and just kind of like putting that together, being like, oh yeah, they do look like prunes. I remember that as a kid too.
Yeah. As a kid, I think knowing about prune hands I don't know if I knew that first or had seen this movie first. Cause I saw this movie when I was pretty young. To the point where I don't remember seeing it for the first time. But I knew I was afraid of it to the point where, like, I didn't want to take baths.
Wow.
Like, when I was a kid. Because I had to have been, like, 5 or 6, maybe? Which is weird, because my mom refused, or she didn't, like, allow me to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. She said it was too violent. But I remember seeing Jaws very young, so I don't understand her logic.
Mm-hmm.
But and then and I also saw Close Encounters when I was very young too, which I remember the abduction of little kid.
Yeah,
scared the shit out of me. I remember being awake that night. But what's funny is I'm taking my sister tonight to see Close Encounters. She's never seen it before. The last time I saw Jaws before this viewing was at the movie theater, the same movie theater where I took her to see Jaws for the first time.
Oh, that reminds me. You know, we were talking about how, like, this is the first time I noticed the shooting stars. Uh-huh. The first time I was remember going to see The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, and the big screen. And it was the first time I was like, wait a minute, that guy's got nipple rings.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I have to rewatch The Thing.
Yeah, the bald guy, he comes out when like they're all, there's like something, they, everyone's kind of like waking up and getting up because they're, I forgot what alarmed them, but they all kind of get up. And he comes out with no shirt on. His nipples are pierced.
I don't remember that.
And I was like, what? Was, oh, no, wait, maybe it's a nose ring. Oh, maybe it's not nipple rings.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't remember
some
that either.
Piercing I, some piercing I never noticed on the small screen. But yeah. Then when it was blown up to, you know, yeah. A movie theater size. Man, I hope he does have nipple rings, because if I just kind of like invented nipple rings. That scene at the beach before, is it the Mitchell kid? Is that what he's called? That before he gets chomped though, just him just trying to be at the beach.
Yeah.
But, and the way it just sits there and there's no music and it's just him just like trying to be vigilant and, but acting natural, mm-hmm. like that great Kittner. Shot where the guy comes and talks to him and you kind of see him like poke his head over his shoulder is so good. And Harry, the it's cold guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of nipples.
I didn't notice.
Oh, that guy's got some knockers.
I might talk about nipples on the next episode.
Okay.
The Kittner, right?
Oh, Kittner.
Is it the Kittner? And then the mom comes up and slaps Chief Brody. Like,
oh, that's so good.
Oh, it, yeah. The I was noticing this time around a lot of camera movement, and I don't really know a ton about filmmaking, but it seems like for 1975, there's just like a lot of interesting camera movement. Like, I really enjoy the dolly
really
shot.
Really interesting stuff.
The dolly shot of as a Christine running along the beach with the broken fence and stuff. And there's a couple of shots where the lady comes in to talk about the karate school or the karate kids, karate chopping the fence. And just the way the camera moves through the office and like stops and it like, you know, kind of sets up these different interesting framing. Was
well,
really
that shot
interesting.
Of Brody where it's like, where the dolly is going straight in. It's like where like the whole thing was like, they're like, they're doing a zoom thing
the dolly
while they're also dollying and it's just the way it stays on him, but the background kind of changes that. It's such a cool looking shot, and it just
I was wondering if that's something that they did, if anyone had done that before. I'm sure it had, but not such a, like, it's such an iconic shot, and it's one of those things that you see from like Jaws on, like even like in like movies like Toy Story, like they do that effect when Buzz Lightyear like sees that he's a toy and not a space ranger. But you see it, like everywhere now. And it's such an interesting, I mean, we know what's going on in his head. Like, you don't need that shot to do it, but it creates like this like weird vertigo. Like, it's like, you know, this is chaos. This is now...
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it gives you this feeling in your guts. It's really good.
Like, I don't know how you come up with something like that.
Now, you know, have you seen any of like the deleted scenes, any of the bonus stuff where there's like Quint's buddy and his dog?
No.
Oh. I forgot to rewatch those things, but there's because there's that guy, you know, the guy with the hat who's got the bass in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's kind of like Quint's first mate, there's like these bonus scenes. There's a scene of Quint going to buy the piano wire. And then there's a scene where he's arguing with that guy.
Okay.
And that guy talks a little bit like, what's his name? You know, this is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother.
Oh,
Daryl.
Yeah.
And it's like,
William Sadler.
He's like that. his character, he kind of sounds like that when he talks, and he's like, there's this thing where it's like, I think he doesn't want to go on this boating trip or something, and Quinn's yelling at him, and he's like, da, 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 and he goes, "You're grounded," and stuff.
This
and,
sounds familiar.
It's
probably something I've seen like on a DVD, like in like 98 or something.
It was like one of the anniversary release bonus features. I watched it digitally, I know I have it on one of the things because I remember watching it. I'm just thinking about it. I liked the scene with it's a really great funny moment when Brody's reading the shark books and stuff, and his wife's like, "Relax, he's just tied to the dock. It's nothing to worry about." And then she opens the book and there's that picture of that shark piercing through the boat.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Get out of the water." So funny. It's so well cut. The timing is perfect.
Yeah.
And it also gives us, you know, it also there's so much that's laid out and just kind of like stuff that you see at the beginning that you don't think about. But now having the fact that we've seen this movie so many times and you see things, you go, oh, like the preciousness of the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's that later it's going to be a big deal. You know that they set up the tanks. So then it pays off with the explosion. Or like even just that, just like an image of a shark piercing their own boat, and then later the shark's like crashing in boat and poking holes in it.
I noticed that there was a line kind of early on when they first get on the Orca, and they're Quint talks about how he dealt with one that shark that he put two barrels in it, and it still took a while to fight it off, and like. Seeing the movie and knowing the movie, I understand what that means, but I'm wondering for the first time when he mentions those barrels, if anyone has any idea what he's talking about, but it's interesting that they set that
right.
up too.
Like, I don't know. I never had heard of using barrels to tire out a big fish before.
Yeah. But it's such a quick comment, but it sets that up. I love those barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a great, it makes for such great storytelling.
Yeah. I watched some show where some guy had like the biggest, collection of props from Jaws, like, and also like memorabilia and stuff. And up in his rafters, he had like hanging was like one of the used barrels from the movie. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I don't know why I'm like obsessed with those barrels. Like it's like a perfect device where it's like, you know, the shark is somewhere near. It's like an analog equivalent or like a realistic equivalent of like a aliens on a radar. Like when you watch like movies like Aliens and they're looking at their radar and they're like, oh no, they're all around us. They're near. It's like the stripped down version of that. It's like, you know, he's somewhere within this vicinity, but not exactly where. And he's just kind of like, lurking under the surface, but somewhere near that barrel.
Right. When they pop up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so good. And also, it keeps feeling, you keep seeing how formidable a monster this is because they keep adding barrels and he can still drag him down. Yeah. And you go, oh, it's like, you definitely get that thing. It's like, this is, like, we know Quinn has seen a lot of sharks just based on all the Jaws that he has in his workshop and he just constantly is bleaching shark bones or shark jaws and then he's so like he hates sharks so much and he has a reason to means he tells a good story but then this is the one that is like this is nothing like he's ever come across and he kind of has that, he starts turning into the Captain Ahab quality, you know, where he's like a little bit, it becomes like a sickness, a pathology in him.
Yeah, it's crazy because like I don't know how old shit, why can't I think of his name, the actor who plays Quint,
Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw. God damn it.
Okay, where were we?
Okay, so what's crazy about Robert Shaw is it was only like something like, this is 75, so like 11 years before this, he was in From Russia with Love. And he was like, he was essentially looked like Daniel Craig, you know? Really like muscular, fit, like henchman in From Russia with Love. And then just like 11 years later, he's playing Quint. So I don't know how old he was, but he definitely looked a lot older than 11 years older. And his performance, did he get nominated for this? Do you know if he got nominated for this movie? Because I feel like he should have. But if he got nominated, it's that Indianapolis speech, I'm sure, would have played at the Oscars. An old friend of the family, this old lady, her husband was on the Indianapolis.
Whoa.
And I remember, I don't remember it from Jaws. I was a little bit young, but I do remember seeing like they had like a made-for-TV movie in the 80s about the Indianapolis. I remember watching that. So like I've been aware of it, but it was just weird. Like that whole scene. I mean, it's like the best scene in the movie, right?
Yeah.
The comparing scars. It's so good. And then the other scene that I really, really like is when like all the shit goes down on the islands and Brody's sitting there after dinner drinking wine and he's like making faces with his kids.
Yeah, that's a scene that JJ played in his TED Talk.
Oh, really?
There's like a TED Talk and JJ plays that scene because he has this bit where he's talking about how like after Jaws came out, there are all these copycat movies that came out, and the reason that they don't have the same effect is because they copied the wrong thing. And he talks about it like, because like Jaws isn't about a movie about a shark. It's about a man who's trying to, you know, do something when the whole town's against him, essentially. Yeah. And yeah, that whole scene with the kid. Yeah. And yeah, it's so great.
Yeah.
And it's so you kind of like it's part of the whole thing where like so much of what happens a lot is when I have my problems, especially when anything or watching new shows, like when I'm deciding if I'm going to follow the show or not, mm-hmm. you know, it's about like, do I care about the people? It's that, you know, especially in like fantastical, like more science fiction or horror things, it's that it's how it affects the people that you care about is what keeps you hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dreyfuss shows up. He's like, how was your day? It was so good.
It's funny. The Hooper and Quint dynamic. It's definitely like two sides of the coin. And then Brody's kind of just stuck in the middle with these guys. And he really, it's interesting seeing him value each of them for their own things, even though Hooper's like, Quint's kind of like really rough around the edges. There's still like a level of trust. And then,
yeah, there's just
it's like great, brains and brawn.
It's great chemistry amongst the three of them, whole thing. And like, and the same where Hooper is like no, not Hooper, but like Quint, where he's like the part when he just kind of goes, your forehead's bleeding, there's a first aid kit right over there. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's like he's making sure everything is okay, you know, even these landlubbers on his boat.
And Hooper
okay,
seems
so Ben Gardner's head. What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Such a great.
I don't think it was until I grew up and watched it when I was older that I realized who Ben Gardner was before we saw his head. Because I always knew about Ben Gardner's head, and they talk about Ben Gardner's head, and you can't forget it. But going back and watching it, I'm like, oh wait, that guy right there, the kind of like
that's Ben Gardner,
the kind of like asshole-y boat guy, that's Ben Gardner.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was ever made clear to me until I saw it when I grew up. That was one of those moments. There's a couple moments when I watched this with my sister in the movie theater for the first time where I would kind of like sit back in my chair and kind of look over to wait for her reaction.
Did your sister not see any movies?
I don't understand it. We it's not like we didn't grow up in the same household. You know? I just don't.
I might have a Spielberger version.
I guess so. I don't even. She told me about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago that she finally saw Raiders. And I'm like, how is that possible?
What the hell?
I watch Raiders all the time on video. All the time. Because I finally got the okay to watch it for my mom.
Good.
And that's where my obsession with film scores came from, was from Raiders. Yeah. My mom wouldn't let me see it. And then we had a Columbia House. And she let me get 3 tapes. I got like a Thompson Twins. I got ZZ Top. And I got Raiders of the Lost Ark. And that's all I listened to was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right, this is a bit of a tangent. You got the Thompson Twins that had Hold Me Now?
Yeah.
I think I had that on a tape as well.
Yeah. I listened to that.
And which ZZ Top? Oh, it must be like...
Legs. The one with legs.
Is that Eliminator?
I think so. I didn't listen to that much. Thompson Twins and Jaws... Or not Jaws, Raiders I listened to all the time.
Uh-huh.
We got to talk about that, though. We got to talk about John Williams.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's... They're like, okay, everyone like thinks of Jaws. They think of the like, you know, the shark. Yeah, exactly. But there's so much kind of funny, like nautical music in this movie. Even when they're like, when they're, you know, shooting the barrels and stuff, it's very jaunty. It's very nautical. It seems like a throwback to to older movies, but it's good.
And it, music, and then the same way that the movie uses no music and silences is they're both very, very well done. The killer shark game looks pretty fun.
What? Arcade
game that is just like, it's like this shark and then there's like a bullseye on it or something like that.
It's just like flashing graphics.
Yeah, it's very, very cheap. Yeah.
I wonder if that was a real thing.
Or they just made it up. Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah, because it looks like it could have been something they could have like kind of mocked up, but...
Yeah.
But
weird, video games in 1975, that seems crazy to me.
But there are a few, like there are other games that were there, and the kids were playing other things. Yeah, I guess that must be what the video games were then. Yeah, more like that, like a series of... It's basically almost like a version of a flip book.
Uh-huh. It reminded me of one of those toys where it was like where you're pretending to drive, where the little car
the
is attached.
The plastic car leans to one side or the other.
And then it's just like a scrolling piece of paper that you just kind of... It reminded me of that.
Sometimes they'll have like... Sometimes there's like the scrolling bit has like bumps on it, so you will get your car stuck on bumps. But yeah, sometimes it's just a print of paper. It doesn't really do anything.
Yeah,
I liked also like the mayor trying to get people to go in the water.
Oh,
and we're just kind of like, and like that family says, "Well, come on, get in the water." And he's like, and he just kind of gets up and he complies. He just does it.
Yeah.
Also, it seemed like a lot of like the parents looked old.
Yeah,
for how young their kids were.
That feels like something we saw in was it The Blob? The Blob kind of had that. Remember where all the adults were super old and all the kids were in their 30s?
Yeah.
But does Hooper say?
I was like, are these grandparents taking their kids out on the water?
Maybe. Maybe because it's summertime. The kids stay with the grandparents and then... While the parents are back in the city working, and then maybe the parents come visit on 4th of July, and maybe that's the thing. They send the kids ahead. But Hooper...
It's supposed to be their parents.
Oh.
I think it is, and it's like...
They're just all...
I think that's like the... Yeah, it's like the show... I think... Aren't those... Isn't that the kid then that has like that raft and then the guy then takes the raft off when they're in shark panic mode?
Yeah. That asshole.
You know what was also another great camera thing is when they pull Brody's kid who's in shock.
Oh, and they pull him up the beach?
They pull him along the beach, and they do this thing where you just kind of, like, let the camera trail onto, like, the water that's dripping off him at the, like, at the edge of the water. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you find yourself looking at that water to see if you're going to see any blood there.
Yeah.
Even there's none, the kid ends up, fine. But you did this thing, it makes you look there because that's where you would look to see if someone got bit.
Yeah, and then you look at the camera at first kind of like doesn't allow for the bottom half of the legs to be in frame. Uh-huh. So you're like, oh no, does he have legs? Because the camera's like kind of panning with him, and then you see the legs come into frame. Like it's these little tiny moments of suspense where you're like just unclear or uncertain of what's happening. One of my favorite lines, I think it's Hooper that says that that the mayor is offering up these people as a hot lunch. You see that?
Oh, right.
And that is interesting to me because that's what we used to get at school. This would be called hot lunch. And I don't know if that's a term that's still used, but I always found that line funny. Because you'd go into school and you'd go and the kids would line up for hot lunch. And so it was just like the mayor was sending these people out to, there's just sharks waiting to get their hot lunch.
I know why they always talk about, they call it plate lunch, which is places that offered plate lunch, which was like it was kind of a fast food, but it was like a plate and you got like a scoop of rice, a scoop of macaroni salad, and then some meat.
Some Billy Kittner and.
Yeah. That's what they offered up.
Yeah.
There's this, like, when they're pushing the kid around in the hospital bed, there's the nurse has a line, but the guy pushing it, who is he supposed to be the doctor? Because he's got a lab coat on.
I don't know.
But he just pushes the kid silently, and he looks young. He's like a kid.
Maybe he's an orderly. Like this kind
of random, but he's not dressed as an orderly. Hmm. He's got a full lab coat on. Like he's dressed like he's the doctor, but it's like he's an extra, but the nurse has a line or two lines or something. So she gives the line. The guy's just got to sit there and push silently because he's not supposed to talk in this scene.
Maybe
it felt like a long thing.
Maybe he was supposed to and wasn't delivering.
Oh, and they're like, all right, give the line to.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe. Well, they did hire a lot of locals. I don't know. You know what's a great detail? Quint's hands just being bloody from fish stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love. There's a great Quint line where he's like talking, where he's like, you know, the whole thing. He was like, "Let me see your hands." He's like trying to like, because they're basically saying that they got to come too. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I'm talking about working for a living. I'm talking about sharking."
It's a great moment because he tells him to tie a. Sheep shank.
Yeah.
And Hooper's offended that he's like, I didn't have to test my knot tying skills since I was, you know, a kid or whatever. But then he throws the knot at Hooper at Quint, and it just lands on his face. And Quint doesn't even look at to see if the knot is correct.
Yeah, he's already done.
Yeah. So good. So my one note, we see the shark at the 1 hour and 21 minute mark. With 45 minutes left in the movie. So it's better. It's more shark time than Diamogen. And then, but yeah, it kind of had that feeling of Godzilla where you get kind of glimpses and stuff, but you don't fully see it. And that's so great.
Seeing the shark you're talking about, is that the chum one?
Yeah, yeah.
You the come chum out moment?
This shit. Yeah, and he... that's another one of those moments where I sat back to see if my sister, I was like, I know it's coming. And I sat back. And both times, both Ben Gardner and that time, she jumped. And
now, but did she not so notice good. That you were changing your position at certain moments?
Oh, it's always the way it works. She's always, it's always Stevie in the middle. So,
okay.
So I can, yeah.
I had a teacher who talked about when he saw Apocalypse Now for the first time, and his friend was like showing it to him, and then sometime in like right before the moment where the tiger comes out of the woods. There's like the jump scare in that movie. And do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this movie? Do you remember the tiger?
I don't remember the tiger.
There's a moment just out of nowhere. This tiger just jumps out. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a jaguar or a panther or something. But his friend changed and just kind of turned and looked at him. And so he knew something was going to happen because he could feel the energy changes. The guy wanted to catch his reaction, see if he would surprise him the way he got caught off guard by it.
Well, I already sit pretty far back. I kind of lean, like, lay back when I watch, and then she'll kind of sit a little bit forward. But yeah, it wasn't. She definitely jumped both times, so she didn't know it was coming.
My favorite scene in this viewing of it is this great scene between three things: Robert Shaw, a cracker, and his fishing reel. It's so just those three elements in the way he's looking at it.
Yeah.
With the cracker, and he does this thing where he puts the cracker to his lips, then he brings it down again. There's so much in that. It's just so well done. It's so perfect.
I agree. I think it's a perfect film. Like, I feel like every time I watch it, I notice new stuff, and not necessarily anything like crazy, but just like this time around, noticing camera work and stuff, and really kind of paying attention to the performances. It was interesting watching it on the big screen. It flies by, which for a shark movie, and there's really not, you know, there's with Josh showing up. I call him Jaws. I know it's known as Bruce or whatever, but
no, Bruce is the actor. Jaws is the character.
Okay. But even though it's like you don't see Jaws, you know, for almost an hour and a half, it still just goes. It's such a good, like,
so good.
The all of that kind of Spielberg, where you have like room.
We're on the boat now. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. This is it. It's like, and there's he puts a clock on it really well. I mean, the fact that the boat is slowly sinking, just puts this great clock on it. And it's enough to forget it, and then they come in, you're like, oh yeah, there's a lot of water in there, until the very end where you just see it going all the way under at the last moment.
Yeah.
Quint's so calm. It's just matter of fact, Chief, put the fire out, will you? While they're doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, another of the great of those setups I talked about, like this thing gets established and then you forget about it, and it's kind of, but basically what makes it so good is that you don't have to then be like, oh, where'd that machete come from? Mm-hmm. You know, because he goes and he just sticks it to like there on the side of the boat and all that kind of stuff that you can't. Not to make a Lost reference, but you know, when JJ was talking about putting all that stuff, like the tree shaking in the woods, whatever the monster was, having to put that in the pilot so you can't be like, oh, where'd this monster come from? Like, you know, three episodes in or something like that. The sign, the Amity, welcome to Amity sign, it's set shark. Up at the beginning so that later you can see it with the shark thing, and the shark painted on it, and how like the mayor, he's upset about that. So, yeah, don't worry about the people getting eaten and closing the beaches, but this is vandalism, this is a bad
it's bad, it's for like, business.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of making a big deal out of, you know, the meaningless small stuff and ignoring the bigger picture and the things that are more macro. It just kind of kept green light going, oh god, this is our politics right now.
Yeah.
Quint's death, it's so great. It's made such an impression when I was little.
Yeah,
and then it's the way it's addressed at the end of the movie when Hooper's like, Quint, and Roy Scheider's just like, no,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's good.
I was like, the shark didn't work a lot, but when it did, it looked amazing,
and it worked on my sister too. She. Every other like couple times I see her, I'll ask her, because she's never told me what she thought of the movie.
And you ask her if she still takes baths.
But I think it works. It still works. Like, I know we've seen it a bunch of times, and we have kind of a suspension of disbelief sometimes with, you know, the shark stuff. Like, we all know it's a giant mechanical shark. But I think it, as far as a first viewing, it still worked for her.
There's stuff, and I go, it's we're like, you see going, all right, they had to like make some decisions. They had like figure out, like, I think the first time you see the shark is actually when that kid gets eaten. There's a moment when the shark's above the water
where you see the fins kind of like tumbling.
He's like it's rolling.
Yeah.
And they're like,
I love that shot.
It's like them being like, it's like you kind of put yourself in the shooting of being like, we got to create some kind of movement.
It's great though, because it's such a shark. It's like a far shot, and you just see the kind of, you kind of see it like bite and then do that like barrel roll.
Yeah, it's almost like the way a crocodile kills something.
And then you're like, shit, I wouldn't want to be out there for a million years, you know, for anything. Like, I wouldn't, there's no way I would be out there. And then later in the movie, they go out there. And it's like, okay. So they kind of like, that's kind of what's great about not seeing the full shark, you know. You just catch glimpses of it from far away, so that when they actually go to it, you're like, oh, I don't want to be anywhere near that thing.
Yeah, and I think the shots of the shark from under the water, but shot from above the water, looks so like when he passes by the boat and they're like trying to eyeball the measurement of him.
Yeah,
and they're one of the kills that you kind of like see him, like he's like him on its side, and you kind of see like the mouth open and stuff.
It's apparent that both Hooper and Quint are seeing something they've never seen before. Like, that's where they start actually like bonding is when they both realize they have something kind of crazy on their hands. And then of course Brody kind of sums it up, you know, you're going to need a bigger boat. And it's like,
Quint destroying the radio.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much. It's so rich stuff.
That's where he like becomes obsessed, and he's like, no, this is mine. No one else can have this.
This has to happen. And this is going to happen on this boat.
You know, I've never seen a Jaws sequel before.
Oh, really?
No, I've never seen one. I've seen like maybe, I think, a bit of Jaws 3 because it was on cable when I was younger and I knew it was in 3D. So I like maybe watched like 5 minutes of it to see what it was supposed to look like. Even though it wasn't presented in 3D, you could still always tell when something's trying to be 3D.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like there's always a shot of someone holding a pole towards the camera. And
the frog in Jaws 3D, the frog jumps out. There's also a great in Jaws 3D, the very end.
Uh-huh.
I mean.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, it came out in 1978.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I saw Jaws 2 before not 3D, because I was looking up something in Jaws 2, because I was like, I think I saw Jaws 2 before I saw Jaws.
Is Jaws 2 the one with Dennis Quaid in the marine biology
place? No, that's 3D.
Okay, so I haven't seen any of 2. Is 2 the one with the, where it's the, the cover has the water skiers?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a water skier?
There's water skiers, I think, in Jaws 3D too. No. Jaws 2 is the girl water skiing.
Okay.
Instead of the girl swimming, Jaws 3D, there's like.
Is it a pyramid of skiers?
Not quite. There's. Okay. There's like it's like two. I think it's two couples water skiing. Only one is knocked down, like they're about to get eaten, and the other ones are not. Like there's like a fin in the middle. The third dimension in terror. Yeah, but at the end, so that Jaws dies by getting blowed up as well.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, the parts of his jaws
uh-huh.
come oh, up and they fly to the screen.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, that must have worked in 3D too. That was, yeah. That was like a slumber party or something that I remember seeing that movie.
Yeah. I don't know if I need to see them.
Need to. Jaws 2 still has Roy Scheider.
Oh, okay.
And he, like, one of the first speeches from TVs or movies that I had memorized ever as a kid was from Jaws 2 when he's like, that's a shark. And don't tell me that is one because I've seen one up close. And you better do something about this one because I'm not going through that hell again. I'll have to see if that's if I still remember it correctly. But yeah, that was.
That's funny. I think I'm good as far as
they get
seeing Jaws movies.
Well, okay. I still enjoy them. I think Jaws 2 I like. I think Jaws 2 is still pretty solid. Jaws 2 3 gets a little hokey.
Yeah.
There's dolphins.
It kind of sounds like the Rocky series.
Yeah, and then Jaws 4 gets ridiculous.
I know how that one ends because you do it in the video game. For NES, where the Jaws gets stabbed by the boat.
Did you see, what was it called? That shark movie with, it's like the woman, she's like just hanging out on like that buoy for a while, and there's a shark that's been circulating her.
Blake Lively?
Yeah.
The Shallows.
The Shallows. I was like, it's not The Cove. Did you see that one?
No, I haven't. Is it good? Or have you not seen it?
I wouldn't call it good, but the shark, it's good in a turn off your brain and watch something ridiculous kind of way. Hmm. I mean, there's parts that get very serious and very sincere, and she delivers. She's great in it, but the way the shark dies.
Oh, okay. I'm good with it. I don't care about spoilers for The Shallows.
Oh, by the way, the shark dies. But the shark kind of like ends up like she does something to get him, like chase her or something, and she lures him to this thing, and he ends up kind of like crashing to a thing that he impales himself on. I was like, going like, that's how you did it. There's also like the like, because like it's a little, the effects were a little bit on a budget probably, because there's this part where like there's a surfer that just gets basically eaten by a shark. Mm-hmm. And like out of nowhere, this kind of like this CGI-ish kind of shark comes up and gets almost like going, what? But yeah. it's those bits are fun to laugh at.
Yeah.
But then the final ending is just so ridiculous, where you see this like this shark that's like crashed into this some kind of like shipwreck or something that's in the bottom of the ocean or something, that he just kind of crashes into it. It looks like almost like a car gets crunched into it. It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of shark movies. I haven't seen Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea is the one where the sharks get smart?
I think so.
It's pretty good. Samuel Jackson gets
I know that
sharked
part. Yeah. And then, of course, the Meg.
Of course, the Meg.
Of course. One of our bonus episodes, I think. Yeah. I think it was a bonus episode that went into a regular time slot. I mean, this is your favorite movie of all time. But I don't think it belongs in our top five kaiju list.
You can't. Yeah. You can't. It's you can't. It can't. You can't put it in the competition.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. If it was a shark podcast, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, that's all I've got. I don't really have much more to say about Jaws other than it's one of the greatest movies of all time. Any final thoughts on Jaws?
No, it's...
I mean, what is this? What else is there to say about Jaws? I mean, we've been going for an hour.
Jaws is just one of those movies that you can just sit and talk about. Like it's fresh in our mind. We just watched it. But even like 6 months from now, you know, if we were hanging out somewhere and just talking to anyone about like our favorite movies and Jaws comes up, there's just tons of stuff that people just can go back and forth. Oh, you know, do you remember in Get a Life when Chris got that submarine?
Vaguely.
He was like, it's kind of like this kind of thing that you mailed in for when you were, he was like a kid.
Oh, and then it showed up. It showed up like years later. Yes.
And it's this two-man submarine. It only fits him and his dad are in there.
They put it in the bathtub?
Yeah, they kind of like cock up the bathtub so that they can just sit there and fill it up. And he's in there with his dad and he starts doing the Quint speech.
So good.
You know, when I was little, I thought he meant a dog's eyes.
Oh, not a doll's eyes?
Yeah, not a doll's eyes. Huh. It looks at you. Don't seem to be living. And then he bites you and the eyes roll over white. Yeah. Yeah. There was a story. Was that speech was written over the phone. It was like this thing where Spielberg is trying to get it. He needed something as in the scene, or I forgot exactly why he was like calling some screenwriter for help and stuff, and the guy basically dictated it to him.
Huh, that's cool. All right, you want to talk about what's happening on our next show?
Sure.
So anybody who had any sort of problem with us doing Jaws,
we are back on track
in a big bad way. We're going to be watching Ashiro Honda's Atragon.
Hooray!
For those of you that don't know, we finally nailed down what movie has Manda in it.
Mm-hmm. And here we go.
Here we go.
Only going to watch it.
Watch that on kaijupod.com. You'll also get links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and YouTube, which is still a thing. I don't get it, but people like it. I like posting there. Get a lot of interactions. The idea
where you're like, and YouTube, which is still a thing, I guess.
It is.
People still like the YouTube.
I convert the audio into a video file that only plays audio, but you can listen to it there. But it's great because people comment, and the comments are always surprisingly positive. So.
Surprisingly positive.
Yeah, because YouTube's kind of a awful cesspool.
Yeah, like most of the internet. So then when you do it, what image do you submit an image with it? Like, is it like just like the Kaiju podcast logo?
So it used to be just the regular cover art, but it looked messy on the page. So I'll grab like a really cool, like a really good like hero shot of a monster. And then underneath is a banner that has the episode number, the episode title, and then our pictures, our two heads popping up off to the side.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, and it's broken down into categories, and it's easy to look at. And then what I'll do is I have a whole section that you could watch the trailer to the next movie we're watching. So, you'll see the trailer for Atragon there. So, it's kind of cool. But, yeah, that's all I have. So, until next time, I'm going to go play that Shark Attack game.
I'm just going to keep kicking.